and then suddenly the babiche cord about his wrist grew loose. The reaction almost threw him back. With the loosening of it, a cry came from Mariette. It all happened in an instant, in almost less time than his brain could seize upon the significance of it. The slipping of her hands from the rock, the shooting of her white body away from him in the still whiter spume of the rapids. The rock had cut the babiche, and she was gone. With a cry that was like the cry of a madman, he plunged after her. The water engulfed him. He twisted himself up, freeing himself from the undertow. 20 feet ahead of him, 30, he caught a glimpse of a white arm and then of Mariette's face before she disappeared in a wall of froth. Into that froth, he shot after her. He came out of it blinded, groping wildly for her, crying out her name. His fingers caught the end of the babiche that was fastened about his own wrist, and he clutched it savagely, believing for a moment that he had found her. Thicker and more deadly, the rocks of the lower passage rose in his way. They seemed like living things, like devils, filled with the desire to torture and destroy. They struck and beat at him. Their laughter was the roar of a Niagara. He no longer cried out. His brain grew heavy, and clubs were beating him, beating and breaking him into a formless thing. The rock drifts of spume, lather white, like the frosting of a monster cake, turned gray and then black. He did not know when he ceased fighting. The day went out. Night came. The world was oblivion. And for a space, he ceased to live.